In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman.
Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interviews. Today I have my favorite guest, one of them. She knows she's on the list, and she's leaving poor great wife North to nice and sunny LA. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Your new short film, Super Speed Dating, has been released. Speed Date or Speed Dating? Which one is
Speed
it?
Speed Dates.
Speed Dates. Oh, see, I need an S. Bad grammar for me. So how's it being received? I know I loved it.
Quite well. It did great at the festivals. And, of course, the biggest excitement came out of L.A. itself when it won Best Original Story at Los Angeles Film Awards. So that was a really great thing to hear out of all genres and out of feature-length scripts, that they felt that this one was a really special story. And I agree, obviously. I'm a little biased, but I enjoyed the film. I really enjoyed writing it. I still watch it, and when I watch it again and again, there's parts that just make me laugh as though I just am seeing it for the first time. I really enjoyed it. And of course, you know, for a first film, I'm very proud of how it turned out. I think the actors did a fantastic job and, you know, delivered a bit of the essence of the characters that I felt was there. So it's great. It's being watched on YouTube. It's on Funny or Die right now as well. So I'm just busy promoting that because it just came out on February 13th.
So I guess my first question is, have you been speed dating?
I have been speed dating in the past, and no, I did not have any success at it. I would say the only realities that obviously this has is, of course, the setting of, you know, asking these typical questions and kind of a speed format and getting a brief answer to kind of sense if there's any, you know, connection or chemistry going on. And from my personal experience, of course, I didn't have any connections that ever took place. But I would say that the answer, sometimes you felt as though, you know, am I on candid camera? Am I on punked? Is somebody watching this? Like, why are these answers sounding so strange? And, you know, it's often in the honesty of things that sometimes can be the most humor that's found.
Now, why is use a superhero theme?
Well, the idea came to me during a weekend workshop, an acting workshop, and we were told to kind of come up with an idea for a script that could maybe work with everybody involved. And there was one of the actors in the film who kind of did some little commentary on a kind of a bizarre character, and there was like a superhero type of reference given. And for whatever reason, I went to sleep that night, and I had this kind of, you know, thought that I woke up with first thing in the morning, very early in the morning, probably 2.5 hours before my alarm was going to go off, about, you know, superheroes, like supermen. These are supposed to be the best of the best. But if they were at a speed dating event and answered honestly questions, how super would they really be? Would they be super boyfriends? You know, and that kind of played in my head this idea about how amusing it would be. And I had a few quick ones that came to mind. And then I kind of explored, you know, material for maybe about 10 superheroes and thought in general, if I picked some standard questions, you know, what would these particular superheroes answer? And then sometimes the answers were quite silly or funny and it amused me. And so I kind of mined down to the superheroes I felt had the most meat and material to them. And then I wrote the script based on that.
I think my favorite line is when the men are all sitting together having a conversation.
Yes.
And you brought your suit? I thought that was quite funny. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
He could be signaled at any time.
I know. I thought that was great. I thought that was really, really funny. I have to tell you, I've cheated. I already know where you filmed this.
You do. Yes, I know.
I did cheat because you keep sending me these interviews, and I had to stop reading them.
Okay.
I feel bad, but I'm like, I'm learning too much. So I can't ask questions or I already know the answers. So.
Yes.
Was this filmed before Danger Pay or after?
It was filmed the day before episodes 3 to 6, but after episodes 1 and 2.
So when you went in Danger Pay, I know we don't want to go back to it, but I'm going to because it's me.
Okay.
That was the same cafe then?
Yes. The coffee scene sequence is the same area that we used to do the speed dating. We just kind of revamped it a little bit and touched it up, and obviously different lighting.
So do you have a full bar in your basement?
It's a very tiny bar. It's one of those like Costco bars, but
okay.
It's the wall, a tiny little thing. And it's amazing, you know, with the illusion of film that it can look much bigger.
It looks huge.
Else. Yeah. If you put the props on and you set the camera in the right way, you know, it's interesting what it can look like. Yeah.
So how did you pick your names for the people, the women. I mean, obviously, I know who the men are. I figured them out.
Yes. Well, I figured this really was about, you know, obviously the men and their idiosyncrasies, and kind of I wanted to portray all of the women almost being one unified audience viewpoint, you know, kind of the voice of sensibility in this film. So I started off with the character, the lead character, of course, which is Stacy, who I play, and I picked her name. And from there, I kind of smirked and amused a little bit, and I used some of the actresses' first names that were involved and alliterated for them, their characters. There was Lindy Thompson, who portrayed Lacey, so it was just Stacy rhyming with an L. And Michaela Gilchrist played Macy, so that kind of is how those ones came about. And then with Casey and I can't remember the last name right now, it's blanking on me, Tracy, I believe. It just kind of came to me on what else rhymes with these names, and I thought, you know, rather than setting these individual women apart and getting too much into depth in their characters, you know, there is the practical viewpoint, there's kind of the sarcastic one who isn't prepared for things. They do have their individualistic qualities, but I wanted to keep a singular audience viewpoint about how these men are very strange and focus on that.
You know, I have to ask you, as always, how did you find your actors?
Well, the five women, so myself and the other four, were all women that were in this actors group. One was out of province and the other ones were in Alberta. And then for the men, there was one actor in the group who was cast in one of the superhero roles. He was kind of the one who said the bizarre thing that gave me the idea in the first place. And then the other ones, I had to put a casting breakdown and casting notice. So I approached different agents in the city to see who they would have to submit. And then I posted in various Facebook casting groups about this casting breakdown and who I was looking for in particular. And when I got the responses, I ended up casting one of the actors, I believe, from Edmonton. So he came from about 3 hours away. And another of the actors was also from Saskatchewan. So we had a couple of out-of-province people involved with the film. And watched the auditions, and sometimes I think someone maybe had the look, but someone delivered the essence more. And sometimes, you know, for example, the actor who played Clark, I believe he actually does, you know, have the Superman suit himself and do these Comic-Con things. So he was an easy decision.
He looked perfect. I'd say Clark looked the most like he was supposed to.
Yes.
And so you had a British woman, obviously. I thought that had some nice diversity.
Good.
I did thought that was, I'm like, oh, that's a different accent. Cause I mean, I know it's Canadian, so I hear Canadian accents to me. I'm like, oh, yes. I definitely can tell who they are. That's no problem. I'm like, oh, that's different. Now, did the women, I always thought maybe the women should ask their own questions, but it sounds like you wrote the whole thing. They didn't make up their own questions.
No, the script was written and shot exactly as it was written. So we kind of put through, and I kind of spread the questions evenly on who I thought would best receive the answers to those and who would create the best, you know, kind of response to some of the questions and the answers that were being given. So
that's great. So did you shoot in a day?
We shot it in a single day. I think we started at 6 a.m. and we wrapped probably around 9 p.m. in the evening. So it was a very long day, but we got everything done, multiple camera setups, the changing, and it was literally like, you know, ding, everybody move and rotate, and, you know, trying to remember and keep track of who was sitting at what table when which questions were being asked, because it's all shot completely out of order.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to kind of see it all come together, and, you know, when so-and-so's sitting in this seat, who's in that seat, and keeping track of all that. So it was kept accurate for the film.
That's awesome. So you've gone to the festival circuit. Did you take Danger Bay the festival circuit, or did you leave Danger Bay just on the internet?
Danger Bay went through the festival circuit. However, requirements are different for a web series. So a web series, you don't have to hold off the internet, obviously, because the nature of it is that it lives on the internet. With a short film, the requirements often with festivals are that the film cannot be on any public platform or viewed publicly anywhere with any public screenings. You can do a private screening, and it can screen at other festivals in some cases, and some film festivals are even more particular. It has to be exclusive either for their state or for the country or whatever else. So there's a lot of little regulations, and if you want to get into a particular one, you may have to wait to hear an answer before you can sign up into another one.
So how does it feel being a producer now? This is your second thing you've produced, so how does it feel?
It's fantastic because it's really neat to see something, you know, as a writer, first, of course, something is coming in your imagination and you're putting it down on paper. When you actually see it come to life and manifest and then get it out, obviously that's a huge gratifying experience, not only for yourself, but everybody involved. You know, for many of these actors who were part of this project, these were their first speaking roles ever. So it was kind of neat to be able to give those opportunities to people by creating something that didn't exist without having taken the initiative to write and produce it. Some of the actors went on to get bigger parts later on. I believe the fellow who played Dick Grayson was in the last season of Fargo that was shot.
Oh, wow. So
that was, he had a scene, I think, with Ewan McGregor. So that was kind of a neat opportunity. But it's, you know, sometimes those first roles, the first opportunities, something on your resume that kind of opens up this opportunity for other things to come your way. So getting to see the results we achieved and seeing how people feel about it that were involved with making it has been just an absolutely amazing experience.
So you've made two projects, big, I think very popular projects. Has that opened doors for you?
Yes, it does, of course. Like the upcoming move to LA is a door that definitely opened with regards to that. You know, there's 13 film festival laurels for Super Speed Dates in total. Danger Pay acquired, I believe, 21. So there's many for that one as well. So with 34 film festival acknowledgements everywhere from Korea to Rome to the UK to anywhere in the United States. Those types of things definitely put you on an international scale as far as recognizability and viability. You know, if comedy translates in Canada into the U.S. and people in Korea are finding it funny and Rome are finding it funny in Italy, you certainly have to think there's some broad universal appeal in the comedy, and that's very hard to find in writing. So that, I think, is what has opened up the doors for me to get my visa to go into the United States. If I would have been waiting for other people to write or create opportunities for me to act in, I'd still be waiting. So it definitely, it opens up doors.
Are you seeing yourself now more as a producer, or do you want to be an actress, or do you want to be a director? What's your plan?
You know, it's kind of funny. I love all three, because really all three go hand in hand. You know, if I write more projects and more ideas are coming to me, they're not going to happen unless I will produce them, at least in the early stages, until I can get, you know, more funds involved or other people involved in producing. So those kind of go hand in hand. And the opportunity to create these roles that I see are ideal characters for myself to play are going to be fewer and far between unless I choose to write them. So I know there's a lot of women out there, you know, Tina Fey is one of them. Mindy Kaling is another, who are taking the initiative to write, produce, and act in their own projects. And I think that really is the life of an artist. You know, if you want to be an actor and a collaborator, it's not always about taking roles and taking opportunities. You really have to bring something yourself to the industry. And if you're writing and producing things, I think you're doing that. You're giving opportunities to other actors, and it's just a great energy and a great karma that you're putting out there.
Now, being a Canadian, being a woman, no issues there. Is that helping you open doors in Canada at all, or there are no doors to open in Canada?
I would say there are doors to open in Canada, but it is difficult depending on where you live. The biggest challenge, I think, as far as that's concerned, is the provincial boundaries that we have, and the fact that film is very much dictated by provincial financing and budgets and provincial tax credits. So when you're looking at, you know, me living in Alberta, I'm really limited to projects that are in Alberta by, say, being Canadian, for example. If I was a, you know, bigger actress from originating out of Los Angeles, it would be much easier to be cast in Toronto or Vancouver than it would be to be in Alberta. So I think, you know, the mindset of that, is it hurtful? Not really. I think it's kind of more creating challenges and ways you have to think outside of these rules now on how to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So I think the onus becomes on you to work harder to build a name and build recognizability and build an audience who are interested in seeing you on screen. So you have something to offer these other provinces if they're going to consider hiring you and giving up a tax credit to do so.
So with you have two projects. People offered you projects, something that you're just acting in or just directing.
Acting, yes, that's something that still is occurring. I actually, when I get to LA, I'm arriving there in early March, and when I'm down there on the first weekend already, I've been invited to a dinner with two film producers that I've been in contact with for the last 3 years. One of them had a long history with 20th Century Fox and produced many of the outstanding TV shows from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. So I can't say much more than that, but there's a feature film on the table right now with a role that I've been looking at. So that's kind of one opportunity that's come out of it. And, you know, things open up. I did have an audition when I was in LA as well for another role in a feature film. So I think once you kind of get your foot in that area where you can actually start to meet people face to face and develop a stronger relationship than what you were able to do over the internet, then I think it's really, you know, anything is possible to come out of it. I did obviously act in a Bollywood film, Jindua, which is on my IMDb credits. It was a kind of a romantic Bollywood story about a fellow who came to Canada and became interested in a Canadian woman, but married her in essence to become a Canadian. So I had to play a kind of, I guess, gullible Canadian immigration officer, one who believed in romance above the practical of the situation. So it was kind of a sweet, fun role. So those types of things arise. But again, I think they come out of whatever I'm kind of pushing of my own projects and showcasing my own abilities to do things. You know, I wouldn't have a demo reel that was as large as it was, versatile as it was, and showing as many different roles as I have if I didn't write my own projects.
So you moved to LA for a little while. You went on a little visit. And you joined the Groundlings. Am I correct in what I read?
Upright Citizens Brigade, UCB. That's Amy Poehler's school that she has. It's a very popular improv format. I did watch a performance at the Groundlings, and I am contemplating on joining there as well, but I think I want to make sure I don't put too much on my plate in the beginning, so I'm going to start with one course at UCB, and we'll see where that goes. And I do have an interview and an audit at the Beverly Hills Playhouse to study there as well.
Look at you go. So much has changed since last time, student. That's awesome. That's great. So I wish I had more questions for you, but I really don't. It was very short, so I was just trying to help you out.
Short and sweet.
But I do have fun questions for you, just for you, brand new. Okay. The first thing you did in LA when you arrived?
Went to In-N-Out Burger.
And I've never had it.
Oh my God, if you have never had it, then it will ruin you if you have it. Only in California and a couple of the southern states, but there's literally one everywhere. They're open constantly. The lineups are unbelievably long through the parking lot, but they keep a very fast service. There's a secret menu that's available that you can order things that are not on the menu board. You can probably find that on your phone if you search it, but they have fantastic burgers. I get it animal style, protein style, so a lettuce wrap instead of a bun, and then they saute relish and onions and I think sauce and fry that and put it on top of the burger. And then they have fries and they have milkshakes, and of course you can get variety of milkshakes that are on the secret menu and other
things. Well, I have to
like
ask,
that, so.
Did you have a milkshake? Did you have fries? I would say no, knowing you well enough, but I'm going to have to ask.
Okay, so the truth of that is we've been to LA twice now. Once when we went to LA Web Fest for Danger Pay screening at Sony, and this time now to find a place for me to live when I'm going back in March. And both times we decided to bookend our vacation with an In-N-Out Burger as the very first thing we do, the one that's right by the airport, the one that Anthony Bourdain talks about on television and says that's the first thing he does when he lands in LA, and it's the very last thing we do before we drop off the rental car to go back home. So I did it twice. On the first trip, some fries, the lettuce wrap burger, no shake. I watched my husband drink a shake, and on the last trip home, I fell on the sword because I had no audition on the way home, and I had a milkshake, chocolate and strawberry combined.
And?
Delicious.
Okay, so you got to give it all to me. You know I'm going to force it out of you.
Yeah.
One thing you didn't do that you wanted to do.
Ooh, that's hard to say because I think I really did that. I think I wanted to go see a show with Upright Citizens Brigade, and the tickets I wanted to get have been sold out at least 3 weeks in advance, so I couldn't get tickets to. And the particular show is called Ass Cat, and it's A with like five S's and then C-A-T, and it's kind of the most popular show from Upright Citizens Brigade, and I did not get a chance to see that. I went to the Groundlings instead.
I am going to add a fourth question.
Okay.
Do you want to go to the Magic Castle?
I have been to the Magic Castle.
I don't like you even more now.
You will really despise me when you know how this happened. I have a very good friend, and his name is Chris Williams. He's acted on Silicon Valley, and he's been on the Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm as a recurring character. He's going to be back on this upcoming season of Silicon Valley. He's a brother to Vanessa Williams, the former Miss America. Oh, so God. We ended up going down there, and he is a member of the Magic Castle, and he invited us on our last trip to go with him. So not only did we get to go with him, but we hung out with him. He performed some magic personally. We saw the magic shows going on in there, and it was amazing. I've never seen anything like it, and we were almost going to go back. We didn't line up timing with Chris this time, but I'm sure I will be back at the Magic Castle, and I absolutely loved it.
Okay, now I'm jealous. In-N-Out Burger, Magic Castle.
Yeah, oh, well, believe me, we did a lot of interesting things. We even went to Cirque du Soleil on this last trip there at Dodger Stadium, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, you can have Cirque du Soleil. I'm fine
okay,
with going to Cirque du Soleil, but your last movie seen in a theater?
Oh, I know. I need to think. Shape of Water.
And?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was visually beautiful. I kind of had a funny thought on it. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Okay. So the only thing I could think about it is that it would be a movie that my mother probably wouldn't like because of the cross-species type of situation. That was kind of the bizarre portion of it. But on as a whole, I thought it was very visually interesting and beautiful, and I really loved the set, the film being set in that particular time space of, you know, the technology being what it was and the wardrobe being what it was and the vehicles. I found it very visually beautiful and interesting to watch.
I enjoyed the orchestra. I loved the soundtrack. I thought it had great mood to it at
yes.
times. I thought Sally Hawkins took a lot of chances as an actress.
She did, and she was amazing. And I have to tell you, when the film was over, I told my husband I recognized her from another film. And if you've not seen this film, I would suggest you watch it. It was called Maudie.
I've seen Maudie.
Yeah. So she, I thought, did a fabulous job there and equally as well here. Very interesting and lovely performance.
Yeah, I thought Del Toro set it up. Like, you could not tell me that was in 1950s. Or
nope.
It looked perfect to me.
It did.
Absolutely wonderful. And I love Octavia Spencer in a supporting role. I think she's a very good supporting actress.
Yes.
I don't like her as a lead ever, but I do love her in supporting roles. She's perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
So what do you see for yourself in the future? I mean, you're going places.
Well, obviously, the biggest thing right now is, you know, kind of being amidst boxes and other things and in preparation mode for, you know, this big transition that's taking place. So I'll be heading down at the end of the month to end up down there. Starting training and classes, obviously, is first on my schedule. I joined Rain Dance LA, so I'm looking forward to being part of that community and going to the monthly mixers and film meetups and perhaps taking some of their educational courses as well. And I also joined Women in Film Los Angeles, which I think is a very important thing to do, and continue to meet other like-minded, you know, women and people who are kind of versed in this area in LA. So networking and getting to know people, submitting myself for auditions there, working on writing another web series, which I can't say too much about at this time, but there may be another web series in the very near future. So that's all I can say for now about that.
I do have one last question that just occurred
sure.
to me. If
yes.
you get a project and get enough influence, would you bring it back to Calgary and do it in Calgary? Because there is not much filmmaking there.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting to me because I have a real heart for Calgary. I love Calgary, and it's obviously my home. I would think that if I have the opportunity and it's my choice on where I could film and how I could set up tax credits and budgets and bring a production here, that would be my first choice. Obviously, that's in an ideal world where you have funding and you can make these types of things happen and bring everyone together. But I'm happy to create projects in LA as well and get to know and connect with other people there, because obviously there's a very deep pond there also. So I think it would depend on the project itself, the funding involved, and who I would need to be casting in it.
Well, that's awesome. Again, I want to thank you always for your time. You know how much I enjoy it. So.
Thank you. Well, I really enjoyed it as well. Thanks for having me back.
And good luck. I know you're going to do well and you'll forget all about me, but that's okay.
Not at all. We're going to stay in touch.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you. You too.